worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
So check this out. To give you an example. Category, breaking wind. Questions about tornadoes and or hurricanes. Ooh. Depending on where they form, hurricanes are also called cyclones and typhoons. Where do cyclones occur? The Atlantic Ocean, the Northwest Pacific, the Arctic Ocean, or the South Pacific and Indian Ocean?
I'm going to say South Pacific and Indian Ocean.
Yes, good job.
I did it.
Tourist traps. Questions about people disappearing on vacation. Approximately how many people go missing on cruise ships each year? 3, 19, 35, or 50? 3, 19, 35, or 50?
I'm going to say 19.
Damn, lady, you're good. What? That's two in a row.
Dang, because I was like, okay, it can't be like just three. But I feel like, you know, it's not
a lot.
That's a lot of people.
And 19 is a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's
a lot.
What's going on? What's going on those cruise ships?
What's going on those cruise ships? So listeners, I got this game called Truly Terrifying Trivia. I have the other game by these. Oh, shit. I just dropped a whole bunch of cards.
These are wild.
I don't remember who makes this. Anyways, if you Google it. It's called Truly Terrifying Trivia.
This is so cool.
But they have all these different categories. And the categories are named different things, and they're not what you think they are. So, like, this category is called In Cold Blood. Questions about creepy reptile stuff.
Oh, cool.
This one's category is A Freak Between the Sheets. Questions about famous ghosts.
Cool.
Yeah,
I like this already. Like, this is cool.
Yeah, so we'll definitely play this on Patreon for one of our game nights.
I like that.
Oh, this category, badgered to death. Questions about scary animals.
Ooh.
What is the only insect that is currently known to see in three dimensions? The praying mantis, the bumblebee, the brown recluse, or butterflies? Praying mantis, the bumblebee, the brown recluse, or butterflies?
I'm going to say the praying mantis.
Damn, lady, you're 3 for 3. Which makes the praying mantis even more terrifying than it already is.
Right?
I am terrified of praying mantis. I think they're so creepy.
They're very creepy.
If they were like larger to scale, they would be like so scary.
Well, have you seen the ones that are in like South America that are like the length of your forearm? That are like
no,
no.
Mm. I just saw the side of the box for this game. It says which serial killer had a bumper sticker that stated, "I haul dead people."
Oh my gosh.
So that's got to be one of the cards in there.
Yeah.
Which animal shoots blood from its eyeballs as a defense mechanism?
The horned lizard.
Does it?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. This game is awesome.
I love it.
So, so listeners, it's called Truly Terrifying Trivia. I don't know who makes it. It says Brass Monkey. Just Google it. You'll find it.
I need to get this.
It's like a black and white and gray box. It's a pretty simple design.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's got 200 cards. It's awesome. There are categories about people being buried alive, serial killer trivia, popes that died while having sex. Like, it's so macabre. It's like the perfect macabre game. They're not sponsoring us by any means, but it's just
if they want to.
Yeah, it's just a game that I was like, I have to have this game, and it's perfect.
That is, I love it. I can't wait to do more with this. I need to get a copy. This is awesome.
It's not that expensive either. I think it was maybe $15, $18, something like that.
Nice.
So fun night to be had for sure.
Oh, heck yeah.
But listeners, welcome to Macabre, Dark History Podcast. My name is Hallie.
I'm Blair.
And this is a Hometown Macabre episode where we talk about local lore, legends, scary things, and sometimes special locations, haunts and haints. And Blair doesn't know what I'm up to on this episode.
No.
She might have posted something on the private Facebook group recently about some haunted locations. And so she doesn't know what we're getting into, but
I'm excited.
Yeah. So listeners, surprise, and Blair, I am covering a spooky location today.
Yes.
And
oh my gosh, yes.
According to the powers that be, it is officially spooky season.
Oh, heck
unofficially yeah. Spooky season, after all. Pre-spooky season, if you will. At least all of the stores. I went into the dollar store the other day, and they have their spooky decorations out already.
Uh-huh. I love them.
School's in session, so why not just go for it, even if it is August? Might as well just gear up for that.
It is always spooky season in our hearts.
It is true.
Never a bad time.
This is a location that I've been wanting to cover for a while. In fact, I actually started penciling this in for season one, and I just didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to talk about the Stanley Hotel today.
Fuck yeah! Hey, this we know somebody that's literally over there right now.
I know. I actually have this in my notes here. This has been on my top of my spooky places to visit bucket list. And I'm super jealous that our good friend Tamsin, who joined us for the Donner Party episode, is staying at the hotel this week, next week.
This week.
Yeah, this week. So I'm hoping that she comes back with some stories to tell. Maybe she'll share those on the Facebook group.
I hope hopefully. So. Girl, please, pictures.
Do you know, did she pick out, is she staying in a room of significance or just, a random room?
I think random.
Okay. Well, still, she's going to have access to other parts of the hotel that are haunted because, plenty of places. So that's cool.
I'm glad that she's doing it. It's been on her bucket list too, and it's good to hear that she gets to do it. Oh.
Yeah. This will of course be posted after she comes back, but she'll have some stuff to share, I'm sure, on Facebook after this post, and she's on the Patreon page too, so maybe she'll drop some nuggets on there as well.
Yes.
But yeah, this Hometown Macabre episode features a haunted hotel with a macabre past, and we're talking about the breathtaking, ominous Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, known for its stunning architecture and picturesque location. The Stanley Hotel has a darker, more haunted side that has intrigued and terrified visitors for over a century. So grab your flashlights and buckle up because it's about to get haunted up in here.
Yes.
So let's start with the history of the hotel and how it came to exist. The story of the Stanley Hotel begins with its founder, Freeland Oscar Stanley. In 1903, Freelan Oscar Stanley, the co-inventor of the Stanley Steamer Automobile, was diagnosed with tuberculosis.
Oh.
And as you know, tuberculosis was a horrific disease. We've talked about that on several of our episodes, that this disease had a very grim outcome. But Freelan was in high society. He had money. And he knew at that time that there were healing powers in the fresh mountain air. He knew that the best cure was go where there is dry air, get some sunshine, and basically, you know, have a good diet. Freelan actually had a friend that lived out in the Denver area. So he and his wife, Flora, decided to make a big move across the country to go out to Colorado. He spent some time there in Denver, and living in Denver, he didn't see a lot of improvement. So he met up with a friend of his who was a doctor, Dr. Bonnie, and the doctor said, maybe go out to Estes Park and spend some time in the mountains. And so that's what he ended up doing. While he was out there, he noticed a significant improvement and things started to get better and he started to heal. And while he and his wife were out there, they just absolutely fell in love with Estes Park. The landscape was just stunning and they were set amidst these towering pine trees, and the Rocky Mountain air just really helped his lungs heal from tuberculosis. And he just was taken aback by the beauty of the place and felt so good and just truly felt like this, you know, was the reason for his recovery. And so he and his wife decided that they were going to settle down here and build this beautiful hotel and share this beauty of this place with other people. And so they decided to build what is now the Stanley Hotel and share that with other people. So they opened the hotel in 1909 and it was an immediate success.
Nice.
Yeah. It attracted, of course, the most wealthy tourists from all around the country. The building itself, I'm sure listeners probably have an image of what it looks like. The bright red roof buildings with the white walls, very striking in contrast. It was regal and opulent and unlike anything anyone had seen at that time. The original structure had 48 guest rooms. It had staff quarters, electric lights, telephones, in-suite bathrooms, which was something that was kind of unheard of at the time. And guests really hadn't experienced that before. So that was like a big luxury for people that would come to stay there. And I have this little radio advertisement. I can't do the voice, but you know, and at this time, radio advertisements weren't a thing. So just pretend like it was. Come to the Stanley Hotel, where luxury meets the wild beauty of Colorado. Breathe the mountain air and find yourself rejuvenated and less tuberculosis-y.
With private toilets.
With private toilets. Have your own private poop.
Yeah, I can't imagine times before that where it's like, okay, we're going to share this.
I mean, yeah, so it had to be either like shared bathrooms or outhouses. I don't know what the situation was, but yeah, so having your own bathroom was like legit.
A miracle.
Yeah, it's the grandest thing I've ever seen. Toilet paper and a pot to poop in.
By myself.
Yeah. So the hotel's grandeur was complemented, of course, by this stunning location with breathtaking views. And it was down in the Rocky Mountains, which I will note that it sat directly atop both quartz and limestone deposits. which, you know, Blair and I, we have some thoughts on that
whole
thing. So listeners, something for you to noodle on for later. Mm-hmm. When we talk about hauntings and, you know, why hauntings might be a thing, that may have something to do with it. But yeah, so you could say that the Stanley Hotel was the cat's meow. And Freeland and Flora put on their glad rags and hosted the most lavish parties, making the Stanley Hotel a social hub for the elites. Now, the Stanley Hotel property, well, I should say not just the hotel, because it was more than just the hotel. It consisted of multiple buildings. The main building had a music room. It had a smoking lounge, a billiard room, a large granite arched fireplace. And the billiard room was one of Stanley's favorite places to hang out. And back in the day, it was like the place to be. The smoking lounge and the billiard room were kind of the place where the men would hang out after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like the times. It's kind of what they did. Now, Stanley himself didn't smoke for obvious reasons. After healing from tuberculosis, it wasn't something that he did. But he really did enjoy spending time in the billiard room, and playing pool was one of his favorite pastimes. So keep that in mind for later as well. There was also a concert hall that sat east of the hotel, and that was also constructed in 1909. And Freeland Stanley sounded like an incredible husband. He actually had this built as a gift to his wife, Flora. And Flora loved music and theater. And so he had this building constructed for her, and the concert hall was decorated in the same style as the music room in the main building, which is said to have resembled the Boston Symphony Hall, which would have been a place that they would have been familiar with and frequented.
That's cool.
So the stage even had a trapdoor built into it.
Dang.
So that when they had like theatrical performances, you know, they could do like the dramatic entrance and exits and things like that.
I love that.
Which is super cool. Yeah. The lower area below at one time had a 2-lane bowling alley. But then when it changed ownership, that was removed at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this place was dope. They had a lot of cool things for people at that time. You know, this was pretty early in history for it to have all these really cool features and things for people to do. There was also a lodge, which was basically like a scaled down version of the main building, like a 1-to-3 ratio. And this sat between the main building and the concert hall. So this, what's different about this versus the main building was it's kind of like a shrunken down version, but it was heated all year round, where the main building was not. It was just too much to like try to keep that. Yeah. So basically Stanley meant to use this during the winter months when the larger building was shut down. So he would kind of like, it was intended for him to like use that when the other was shut down for the season.
That's cool.
You know, cheaper to just heat that smaller building and him to use it for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the carriage house, which was built at the same time as the rest in 1909. And that's where Stanley kept his vehicles. So it would just be like parked in the carriage house. That was briefly turned into a hotel space in the 1950s, but then it sat vacant for a large number of years. And then in 2021, it was actually renovated and turned into a restaurant called the Post Chicken and Beer Restaurant.
Oh.
And You can look that up online. It actually looks really cool. It looks like a really cool place. So maybe Tamsin will be able to get over there and
yes,
have dinner. It's really cool the way that they redid that. It's like a on an architectural website. So they put in some work.
Nice. They kept
some of the original parts of it to try to maintain, you know, some of the originality, like parts of the roof and some of the try to maintain some of that. But
anyways, that's so cool.
Very cool. Because it was just kind of sitting vacant and derelict for a while. So it's good to see that they did something with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now that we've kind of gone through what the setup of the place was, let's get into the history of the tragedy that happened there.
Oh.
Kind of what set off some of the macabre, possibly the haunting, that kind of thing. Okay. So despite its splendor, the Stanley Hotel suffered a tragic fate amidst the peak of its grandeur. The most famous incident occurred in room number 217. And this happened on June 25th, 1911, just 2 years after the hotel opened. So very early on in its history. There was a severe thunderstorm that shook the hotel with fury. And the west wing of the hotel was in need of a cleaning. That night, there was supposed to be a powerful and influential guest staying that particular night. And the storm had caused a power outage. Elizabeth Wilson, also known as Lizzie, was a chambermaid. She was working that night and was just kind of like clambering her way down the hallway with her little cleaning cart with just a candlelight to light her way. And as she approached the door to room 217, her candle went out. So she was standing in the hallway trying to make her way to 217. In the pitch black, she kept moving her little trolley down the hallway as flashes of lightning periodically lit the way. She had a pack of matches. She kept trying to ignite them. Match would go out. Kept moving. Try to light another match to light the candle. Match wouldn't light. She made a couple more attempts to try to get closer to the room. The match still would not light. Ooh. She continued onward. And then finally, she got outside the room to 217. Finally, the match freaking lit. And she was able to light her candle. And the candle lit to a soft yellow flame. She was able to open the room door to 217, and then she entered. As she walked through the door, a hissing sound filled her ears. Instantly, the flame from the candle ignited the air, filling the room, catching everything ablaze in one giant fireball.
Oh, no.
Unbeknownst to Elizabeth, there was a gas leak in room 217.
Oh, no.
As she entered the room with her candle lit, the room violently exploded, sending Elizabeth plummeting through the floor into the dining room below.
Oh, no.
She suffered serious injuries, broke both ankles, and was in a coma for 2 days.
She survived?
She did survive.
Holy shit.
One witness saw a bathroom like burst through floor, go flying. There was debris like found half a mile away from the hotel. There were no deaths that occurred from this event. The entire west wing of the hotel was destroyed. Eventually it was rebuilt, of course. There were several other people. No guests were injured miraculously, but I think there were some other employees that were injured. But yeah, she ended up returning to work after her recovery and stayed until her retirement in 1950. And she did not retire until she was 90. years old. What? So she must have really loved her job.
Yeah. Even with what happened. Wow. Yeah. I don't think I would have had that.
Yeah. She must have been like, well, it didn't kill me, so.
Right? I'm staying.
Yeah. Oh, she must have felt really lucky. I don't know how she survived. I have no. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And fortunately, no one died from that event, and there were no guests injured.
Good.
I don't know how, but.
Yeah. That's a shock in itself. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. To this day, guests report seeing her ghost for some reason, even though she didn't die. She's seen tidying up room 217, unpacking luggage, and turning the lights on and off in the room.
Hmm.
So I think she just really loved her job and
she just didn't want to give it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that sounds- there are a lot of stories about room 217 since the explosion. This is actually one of the most haunted rooms on the property. And most of the reports seem pretty harmless. It's just like a friendly ghost, if you will, and helpful. So there was, I have a couple little incidents I was going to share. One guest is quoted as saying, "We stayed in room 217 and woke up to find our clothes neatly folded and put away. We hadn't done it ourselves. It was as if someone had been looking after us."
Aww.
Just nice, right?
Yeah.
Now, this one is kind of funny. It says that if you are an unmarried couple and you are trying to sleep in room 217, you get a little cold presence that comes to sit on your bed in the middle of the night. A little supernatural cock block, if you will. So if it is Lizzie, she is not a fan of the unwed shenanigans happening on her watch. So fair warning for you singles out there, if you plan on staying in room 217.
That's funny.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that, oddly enough, in the paranormal world. A lot of that.
Supernatural cock blocking?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's funny.
I think if I was going to stay at the hotel, that I would want to stay in that room.
It'd be interesting.
Of all the rooms. Yeah. I would not be as, like, heaved out by... But I say that, but now what I'm going to say might think differently, but...
Ooh, okay.
So, there is a list of guests that I'll talk about who stay at the hotel at some point. This is a fun fact. Well, fun fact, but also creepy. Jim Carrey stayed in room 217 while they were filming Dumb and Dumber.
Uh-huh.
And this one is creepy. So it is reported that he stayed in this room for 3 hours. And then he left the hotel abruptly.
Really?
And did not come back. And refused to talk about what happened to him in the room.
What?
Yeah. So
I did not hear about this.
Yeah. So I don't know why. But like the only thing I can think of is he had a big personality at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like sometimes the idea of like someone challenging a ghost or trying to instigate. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he like went in there trying to like challenge something and maybe it didn't go well.
Right. I could see that, like, if he just kind of knew going into it, like, oh, there's supposed to be things going on, so maybe he was, like, trying to crack jokes and stuff like that, and I could see that not going well.
Yeah. But that's the story, that whatever happened, he was there for 3 hours and he completely left the hotel and did not come back. And he refuses to speak about what happened.
That's crazy. I want to know.
Yeah, because it's interesting because like most people who stay in 217 never have anything negative to say, really, other than like the cock blocking. I mean, you know, but that's kind of fun. That's just kind of funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's creepy in itself, but it's not like super, super scary compared to some of the other stuff. But
that's so funny.
But yeah, so, and then, yeah, so some of the common ghosts or hauntings of the hotel are, of course, Freeland Oscar Stanley, the beloved owner of the hotel who died in October of 1940. He has been seen wandering around the hotel bar and lobby, but spends most of his time in the billiard room, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. It seems that he has not given up his favorite pastime in the afterlife. Not a bad haunt, if you ask me.
Mm-mm.
Sounds like he's having a pretty good time. And then his wife, Flora Stanley, died in July of 1935. She was an accomplished pianist. It's said that she continues playing her beloved Steinway in the music room. Guests and staff report hearing beautiful yet eerie piano music echoing through the halls, even when the room is empty.
Ooh.
Yeah. She is also said to have been seen dancing and or cheering on performers at the Stanley Hotel. So, sounds like the afterlife is treating her pretty well, too.
Mm-hmm. Good for them. Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, if you're going to be a ghost.
Right?
Sounds like they're living it up.
Yeah.
Of all the types of hauntings that there are, they sound like the life of the party to me. So, not a bad ghosty gig, if you ask me.
No.
Sounds pretty legit.
Right? Having the time of their not lives.
Right. I mean, you could be stuck, like, doing a job over and over and over again.
No, thank
it's
you.
Like, I'm just going to play some pool and play some piano and just dance and go hang out at the bar. That's like.
Sign me up.
How do I get that afterlife?
Right?
Oh, man. Sounds pretty great. Okay. Now, another haunted location. Now this one, you're going to be like, what? This is weird. I did not know about this. I did not know this was a thing. So the Stanley Hotel has a network of underground caves.
You know what? I have heard of this. I didn't know if it was real or not.
I did not know this. So I'm like, what? Yeah,
interesting.
So they do. So they have these caves that were used to hide the staff from the view of guests because it was viewed as unprofessional for guests to see the staff, like moving from place to place and transporting things. So they would use these underground pathways to travel between the rooms and the hotel bar, the restaurant, the laundry facilities, just like incognito. Dang. It's so weird to me that like that was weird. A thing. Like in the 1900s, they didn't want people to see the wait staff. It's like, okay, who's doing all this work?
Yeah. Right? Because wouldn't it be creepier not knowing? Like,
this is like stuff
freaking show up here. Like
stuff just getting done.
Yeah.
So the hauntings in the caves are baked goods.
What?
Yeah, so people say that when they're down there, they get like this undeniable smell of fresh baked goods down in the caves.
Oh.
You know, and you and I both get haunted by baked goods in a different kind of way.
It's so true. We do.
But like, you know, I'm haunted by a croissant, a fresh baked loaf of bread.
Yes, I was still being haunted by the kolache I ate yesterday morning.
I'm not necessarily scared by that, but I am kind of hungry.
I know. And can you imagine just like being down there and smelling that and being like, oh, please, where are you? Like,
yeah. I need some butter, please.
Yep. Yeah, I need this. And I get a little taste of this. Yeah.
It's so funny. It's like, how can a smell be a haunting?
Right? Like, you bake so good that it just follows you out through the afterlife and through all of the time. Like, dang.
I just don't understand that. But, you know, I mean, scent has been connected to hauntings. Like,
true.
Why not bread?
Right? Right?
Why not?
But it's so weird because it's like, you think, like, if you think paranormal smells, you think, like perfume.
Perfume, a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that delicious ass loaf, you know?
I do get haunted by bread on occasion, so.
I mean, same, but oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now I would just want to go down there and be like.
Just breathe it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other locations that are haunted, the fourth floor. Children's laughter, which is always creepy when it's, you know, especially like time of day is relevant. Children's laughter, sound of running footsteps are often heard on the fourth floor, which used to house the servants' quarters. Guests staying on this floor have reported feeling a playful tug on their clothing or waking up to find their blankets pulled off of the bed.
Ooh.
One guest said, "We heard children laughing and running down the hall at midnight. When we checked, there was no one there. It was spooky, but not menacing." No thanks.
No thank you.
No thank you.
Yeah, no. Oh. Would you rather?
Would you rather? Oh, ooh, hit me with it. Ooh. Hit me with it.
If it's midnight, you're laying in bed and you're like woken up by a sound there. Would you rather it be laughing children that sound like they're playing in the hallway or by running footsteps coming towards your door?
Oh, laughter.
I think I would actually in this case prefer like laughing kids because there's just a whole other level of shit in my pants when it comes to running footsteps towards me in the
dark. If anything is running in my direction, no. If the laughter is in the distance, I'm going to be much better off with that than like something heading in my direction. No thanks.
No way.
Ugh, gosh, that makes my heart like that literally makes my heart sink in my chest thinking about that.
Right.
The concert hall, as I mentioned, is another hotspot for paranormal activity. We already know like Flora has a presence there, but there's another ghost named Paul.
Oh.
Paul was a former handyman who takes his after-hours duties seriously. He has been heard telling guests and staff to get out when it's past closing time.
Oh.
So he's very territorial. There is a pet cemetery.
Really?
Yeah, so the Stanley Hotel had a pet cemetery located next to the employee lodge, and it was the burial site for the employees' deceased pets.
Oh.
So it's said to be haunted by Cassie the Golden Retriever and Comanche the Fluffy White Cat.
Oh.
Now, weirdly, the cemetery was relocated a few years ago to make room for a wedding pavilion.
What?
Yeah, not.
You can't tell me there isn't other area to put the wedding pavilion?
Yeah, not sure I love the idea of that.
Yeah, that seems a little creepy.
Like, yeah, I wonder if that, like, has caused any disturbances or
that's what I want to know
stirred any activity up.
right? I feel like it is, because you hear that a lot of times when they do like a relocation or a revamp of that kind of thing, that some things just go down. No. And yeah. If you knew that, would you want to get married there? That's the thing.
I don't.
I wouldn't. No. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think when you go to the Stanley Hotel, too, you kind of know that like, the whole place is haunted. Like, it's yeah. kind of like you're going with that in mind, but also, like, but still. I don't know. Do they put up a plaque saying, this is the former site of the Pet Cemetery?
I hope so, because, I mean, historically, that should be documented, since it was a major part of the, you know.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Also, how odd is it? All I've been thinking about this whole time is Stephen King.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
And I'm just like, oh, you have the Stanley Hotel? Now you have a pet cemetery at the Stanley. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yep. Yeah. And my title here for this section was Pet Cemetery, unlike Stephen King's Pet Cemetery. But also, then when I got to the point of like, oh, they relocated it. Oh, wonder if that did anything.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a little ironic that they had a pet cemetery.
Right?
I don't know when he wrote Pet Cemetery, but it's kind of weird. Yeah. Well, so far we've talked about mostly like innocent hauntings, nothing too.
Yeah.
We're going to get into some that aren't quite so. So room number 401 is supposed to be the creepiest room at the hotel. Mm-hmm. Why? You might ask. Well, listeners, I probably wouldn't stay in this room. This room has an unfriendly male specter who likes to get inappropriate with the female guests.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. We got us a creep. In this room, some female guests staying in 401 have reported being inappropriately touched while standing in the closet in room 401. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. So you're just settling into your room. You're unpacking your bag. You're, you know, getting your clothes out, hanging them in the closet. And all of a sudden you just feel a hand touch your body from inside the closet.
No.
That's not supposed to be there.
No. I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep paranormal perverts off of my vacation experience list.
List of to-dos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paranormal perverts. We got one cock block lady. And we got a paranormal pervert on the fourth floor. Sounds like cockblock lady needs to go have words with paranormal pervert.
Yeah. Why can't she come down and be like, Listen,
man.
We're done here.
Yeah. You need to get the F out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have Paul take care of him.
Yeah. Another guest claims to have witnessed a wedding ring move across the bathroom counter and slide down the sink drain. In the bathroom.
Can you imagine trying to explain that?
Oh, I would be pissed. Because it's probably
same.
It's probably like someone, I mean, I would imagine, like, could you imagine you're on her honeymoon? Yes. And like, this is like your dream to stay at the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
And like, you guys just got married and you're just in the bathroom and you just watch the wedding ring just like go down the drain.
No.
This douchebag ghost is like, ah ha ha ha. You know? Yeah.
Not married anymore. Paranormal pervert strikes again. Yeah, I would be so upset.
Good luck explaining that.
Yeah. Honey, where's your ring? I literally watched it go down the sink. You didn't catch it? Dude, do you know how it went down the sink?
Yeah, I mean, you would just be staring like, this is not happening. Like, you couldn't even.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not the person that's going to be able to move in that situation.
No.
I'm going to be the person that's frozen.
Yep.
Like, same. This is not happening.
Yep. Exactly. And also, would you want to try to fight to retrieve it if it's moving on its own? I wouldn't.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You're trying to get that ectoplasm on my body?
Yeah. Not touching that. I'm love that ring. Touch. I guess. I'm not. Bye.
I'll let maintenance try to go after that later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not staying in room 401. You can bet your butts on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then room number 428 has itself a cowboy ghost.
Oh.
You heard that right. Guests staying here have reported waking up in the middle of the night to see a cowboy leaning over their bedside or just standing over in the corner of the room.
Ew.
And this cowboy also likes to get friendly with the ladies by giving them a little kiss.
What? What?
Yeah. Just a little peck, you know, just a little kiss.
Is he friends with paranormal pervert?
Well, they're on the same floor.
It's the same person. He just,
no.
Maybe he's, you know, no.
Another really weird thing that happens in that room is guests report hearing the sound of furniture being moved around on the floor above them.
Ooh.
But there is no floor above them. No. It's just the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird.
That is really weird.
So if the fourth floor has a lot, you got the kids' voices, footsteps in the hallway, you've got paranormal pervert and the cowboy ghost.
That is quite the experience.
So the fourth floor is, there's a lot going on the top floor.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. 217 lady needs to go upstairs and like figure some shit out.
Yeah, and then we still have one more room to talk about on the fourth floor.
Oh no.
We need to find out where our friend Tamsin is staying. Is she on the fourth floor? You might need to text her and be like, where are you staying?
I need to figure it out. I need to be like, have you
that's which floor are you on?
Yeah.
Which floor are you on? We have one disgruntled guest, or I should say possibly previous owner of the land.
Ooh.
The Stanley was built on, that allegedly haunts room number 407.
Mm.
And that, my friends, is Lord Dunraven, the Earl of Dunraven. Lord Dunraven sold the acreage to Freeland Stanley in 1907. And he was a big game, like an avid big game hunter who came to the United States specifically for his love of big game hunting and settled in Colorado. But he had left Estes Park by 1888 after some legal battles over land acquisitions. He bought like a 15,000 acre gaming preserve and wasn't much liked by the area settlers.
Ooh.
So he got out of Dodge. And so the theory is that maybe he is the one that's haunting room 407. But it's tough to say why he would be there because he'd never been to the hotel. He was long gone from the area before the property was built.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Only, you know, can only speculate. But there is one theory that said that he was disgruntled about having to sell the land and that he might have cursed the property.
Oh.
So regardless of who it is, there is a man that haunts 407 and he literally lurks in the corner of the room near the bathroom and stares at the guests.
Ew.
The lights will flicker on and off in that room. Guests have reported interacting with the spirit and been able to communicate through the light flickers. So it's whatever it is, it has an intelligence to it.
Mm.
And yeah, this has like a foreboding, creepy heaviness to it, whatever this presence is. It's not very nice.
Mm. Nope. I don't like that.
Yep. Nope. Not trying to have a creepy man stare at me while I'm in bed.
Right. Well, here's a would you rather. Would you rather put up with paranormal pervert, Mr. Ghostly Cowboy, or creepy lurker man?
I'm going to go with the cowboy.
You know what? I think I would too.
Yeah. Creepy cowboy, I mean, I like a guy in a cowboy outfit. He seems fairly friendly. He wants to give me a little smooch, that's fine. Something about a dude just standing and staring at you and trying to throw your stuff down the bathroom drain or inappropriately touching you. Like, I don't know where the guy, that thing was. I'm guessing it was like a boob or a hoo-ha or a
right
butt or something. Like, that's what real inappropriate.
Very. No, thank you.
Cowboy wants to try to kiss me on the cheek or the forehead. That's a fairly harmless. Sound like a kind of a gentleman a little bit more.
He's just about to say goodnight.
Just kissing you goodnight and tucking you in proper like, old lady like. Howdy, yeah. Ma'am. Just want to make sure you're tucked in. Howdy. Yeah, I'm going to go with the chivalrous cowboy.
Yeah, same.
So, yeah.
I'd rather do a yee-haw than oh no any day. So. A
yee-haw. Oh, hell no. Yeah. And that guy was hiding in the closet. Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah. Of all the places.
Like, he was pervy hiding in the closet.
And the fact that, you know, if he's like knocking rings down the drain, he's also in the bathroom.
Just, yeah. Watching you while you're showering. You using that ensuite bathroom.
Yeah. You're in.
Not so private. Not so private anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh. Oh, no. No.
You thought you had a private ensuite bathroom. Guess what?
If you're staying in this room, you do not.
You do not.
I bet Creepy Cowboy doesn't go and lurk in the bathroom in your room. You know.
All right. Well, moving on from the hauntings, let's get into some of the famous guests that have stayed at the Stanley Hotel.
Ooh, yeah.
So we've got Erich Fromm, a German psychoanalyst. This was like in the 1930s. The unsinkable Molly Brown, as you know, who survived the Titanic.
Yeah. Aww.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
John Philip Sousa.
Really?
The Emperor Akito of Japan, Empress Michiko, and Crown Prince Naruhito. Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Johnny Depp, of course. Ooh. Of course, mm-hmm. Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
And as I mentioned, the cast and crew of Dumb and Dumber. And the most famous guest, or at least in my opinion, the most famous guest whose life was impacted by the hotel, Stephen King.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that now.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. Right.
So, on September 30th of 1974, the Stanley Hotel received an unexpected guest who would bring its eerie reputation to the forefront of pop culture. None other than Stephen King.
Yes.
King and his wife, Tabitha, arrived late in the season. It was actually the last day before the hotel closed for winter. At that time, the hotel did not have central heating. So, as I mentioned before, they would close up shop during the snowy Colorado winters. The Kings were literally the only guests in the sprawling hotel, which only added to its already spooky atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you imagine just walking around that place all by yourself?
No, that would be so creepy.
So Stephen King just spent hours wandering the halls, and he spent a fair amount of time getting lost in the hedge maze, imagining monsters chasing him from every hidden corner. No wonder he was inspired. He stayed alone. His stay alone at the property would have given him plenty of time to think and dream up unimaginable horrors. Many of our listeners probably know how this played out, but we'll get into that in a minute. This isolated stay at the Stanley Hotel made for the perfect setting for the horror author's future book inspiration. The Kings ended up staying, of all places, in room number 217, the same room where Elizabeth Wilson had her accident. Now, I assume King knew the history of the hotel, because of course he would have done his research, and of course he would have wanted to stay where the ghost of Lizzie Wilson might be lingering. Mm-hmm. On that particular night, Stephen King had a terrifying dream in which his young son was being chased through the hotel's corridors by a rampant fire hose. He awoke in a cold sweat, stepped out onto the balcony, and the bones of The Shining were firmly set in his mind. He is quoted as saying, "I woke up with a tremendous jerk, sweating all over, within an inch of falling out of bed. I got up, lit a cigarette, sat in a chair looking out at the Rockies, and by the time the cigarette was done, I had the bones of The Shining firmly set in my mind."
Yes.
King's experience at the Stanley Hotel provided the perfect backdrop for his novel. The isolation, the eerie quiet, and the hotel's haunted history all contributed to the chilling story of Jack Torrance, The Shining, and the Overlook Hotel. The Shining was published in 1977 and became one of Stephen King's most famous works and later adapted into a film by Stanley Kubrick. The novel's success cemented the Stanley Hotel's place in haunted lore, drawing fans and ghost hunters from around the world. The hotel has embraced its haunted history, offering ghost tours and promoting its status as a paranormal hotspot. Visitors continue to report encounters with the unexplained, including sightings of shadowy figures, strange noises, and inexplicable cold spots. One guest who stayed at the hotel said, "During the ghost tour, I felt a cold breeze pass by me, even though the windows were closed. It was like someone was standing right next to me." The hotel's connection to The Shining has made it a mecca for horror enthusiasts. Every Halloween, the Stanleys hosts a Shining Ball, where guests can immerse themselves in the eerie atmosphere that King's novel inspired.
Oh my gosh, yes. Can you imagine? Cool.
I would love to do that.
Oh, I would love that. But also, oh my gosh, talk about for writers who are like, I need to do a writing retreat. Like, Stephen King had the epitome of a writing retreat in that just short period of time. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Stephen King, if you're listening to this.
every time we talk about him, I say that, but it's just like.
I know. I want to meet him so badly.
I just want to have a coffee with him and nerd just so hard.
Pick his brain. I know. He's on my list of people that I'd like to have dinner with.
Same.
Celebrities.
Same. Nerd about music, nerd about literature, everything. I would love to.
Yeah.
But also, if anybody knows, speaking of,
Stephen King, if you're listening,
his house in Bangor, Maine. Is that going to turn into a place for writers or not? I keep hearing about it. It kind of fell to the wayside when COVID hit, but apparently he was going to sell that house or have it be something for writers. And it would be an area that people could kind of look at some drafts. There would be almost a museum cases and stuff where he had some stuff available to look at. Is this a thing? Does anybody know? Can you tell us?
Stephen King, can you tell us? Is this a thing?
Yeah, because can I please do this?
Yeah. Anyone knows?
To. Yeah, please. If you know any updates. I imagine dressing up as a flapper and going to that ball, though.
Oh my gosh, that'd be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then go, you know, back to your room and get kissed goodnight by a ghost cowboy.
Ghost cowboy. That'd be awesome.
It would.
I would love to do a couple's costume for that'd be fun. A couple's Halloween costume.
That would be so fun.
Shining. But you know, I love to go all out for Halloween, so.
Me too. We gotta talk about that on the episode.
It's on the list.
Yes.
It's on the list. But yeah, whether you believe in ghosts or not, the Stanley Hotel remains a fascinating piece of Colorado's history. Its luxurious beginnings, tragic events, and the creative spark it ignited in the one of the world's most famous authors make it a unique and compelling destination. And it's on my bucket list,
yeah,
for sure. And if I get the chance, I'm going to stay in 217 if I can. I wonder why he didn't use 217 in The Shining.
Good question.
And why he chose 237.
Yeah.
As the room. But I don't know. If I get the chance to meet him, I'm going to ask. I want to know why he changed the number. But yeah, that is my, you know, kind of down and dirty on the Stanley Hotel for this Hometown Macabre episode.
Loved it.
So thank you, listeners, for joining us on this journey through the haunted halls of the Stanley Hotel. Until next time, stay safe and don't light a match to light a candle to take into a hotel room that has a gas leak.
Yeah.
And tuck yourselves in tight tonight and watch out for pervert. What'd you say? Paranormal perverts. And grabby spectral hands. We'll stay safe until next time. As always, keep it macabre.
Love you. Ta-ta.
Till next time.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.